Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was a
problem. All right, hour two begins. We'll get to Eric here. And then something that this show has discussed quite a bit. Maybe we now have an answer to the question of why the Rockets did not take Stephon Castle. A guy who looks exactly like a guy Ime Udoka would like. Now we may have an answer why they didn't take him and instead took Reed Shepard. Let's get to Eric here. He wants to talk about, I believe, Germany, the soccer team. But we'll see. What's up, Eric?
Hey guys. Germany's a beautiful country. I was stationed there for a bit. But I was calling us last night. I was listening to Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters, and I guess you had heard some guy named Herman, who writes for the Chronicle. He said the World Cup games in Houston are the least exciting. I mean, we have Germany, which have won. I think they won the World Cup more than any other country. Also, I don't know if Ronaldo is playing the first game, but hopefully he'll be playing in Houston, so that's exciting as well. But I'm picking Germany to win the World Cup this year. And for the Spurs being the dynasty, I don't think the last time an NBA team has won it back-to-back, I believe it was the Warriors back in 2018. Since then, I think there hasn't been a consecutive winner. And Project Hail Mary comes out on MGM Plus on June 20th, if anybody's interested in. They're going to be a part two about that movie. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, so due to the success of that movie, there is a belief that a part two will come out. Now, the writer of the first book doesn't have a sequel to that book out, so I don't know if he has the control that he gets to write a second book before they make it, or they'll just, collaborate and they'll make a movie. Because
ask George R.R. Martin how that goes.
Well,
they'll finish it without you, buddy.
Yeah, so I don't know if Andy Weir sold the rights to all the characters or just for the book. So I don't know how it all goes there in those contract negotiations. But yes, I have heard that, or seen at least, that a Project Hail Mary 2 could be in the works. I'm sure they would find a different name for it than Project Hail Mary 2. Hell, The Social Network is called, their sequel is The Social Reckoning. You can find a way if you so choose.
Project Reckoning.
Project Dead Reckoning.
Hail Mary Reckoning.
Yeah. Now that the Hail Mary has been completed, like Aaron Rodgers would, what do they call it? I don't know. We'll find out. Hail Mary 2. The Rocky Story.
Our Father.
Yeah.
Just name it after a different prayer.
Yeah. We will see. We will see about that. The other things. Germany, Eric, since you are picking them to win, if we're going by FanDuel, they have the seventh best odds to win the World Cup behind Spain, which is your favorite, France, England, Brazil, Argentina, and Portugal, which, as you mentioned, has Cristiano Ronaldo. Portugal's in town, Germany's in town, the Netherlands are in town. So you have major clubs playing in the city. I don't know the gentleman you're talking about. Do you know the Herman he's referencing?
Oh, yeah. He was one of the guests from last night.
Who said they're not exciting. Now, you don't have major clashes between the two teams, all the teams I mentioned. Yeah. I think the best matchup on paper might be Sweden versus the Netherlands. Is that here? I don't remember. Lance was talking about possibly going. I don't remember that, if they're in town. So, yeah, when you have Curacao and Cape Verde versus Saudi Arabia, you're not exactly getting the best matchups as far as on paper, but you never know how the game's going to go. If you got Cape Verde versus Saudi Arabia fighting for a World Cup win, you don't know how that game's going to turn out, even though it may not really have any consequences or at least have any real implications on the tournament itself. So I would just say, hey, we got the World Cup in town. Enjoy the experience. And there are no guarantees we'll get a great game, but you never know. It could be a 4-3 game, even though it doesn't really impact the tournament overall.
Yeah, I have no idea what other cities have schedule-wise, just because I don't live there. It's just not, like, beaten into my head of, like, oh, yeah, there's two Portugal games. There's a Germany, Netherlands, you know, like, it's just, like, I don't know what Atlanta's looking at. I know that because, and this is something Glenn and I talked about before the show started, is that because it's 48, like, the group stages are just going to be so diluted. And there's just going to be such mismatches between these squads that are, it's, you know, you have Germany, France, Spain, and they're having to play teams that would not be in any other World Cup ever. They're playing the 44th ranked team, you know? So there is an element of, like, the group stages you're probably going to have just in general lower, I don't want to say quality of game, because one team's going to be looking really quality, but you're going to have lower, you know, competition.
Certainly might have some goal differential situations where teams might be trying to pour it on because they're playing one of these teams. Like,
and you're getting an extra knockout round game in exchange for that, essentially.
So what you have here, as far as we're concerned, our first match is Germany versus Curacao. Then you got Portugal versus the Congo DR. Netherlands versus Sweden, two European established, I won't say Sweden's a power, but two established countries in the world of soccer. And then Portugal versus Uzbekistan and Cape Verde versus Saudi Arabia. So those are matches as far as group stage games are concerned. We will also have a round of 32 game and then a round of 16 games. So we'll have a couple knocking around games, and that's when Houston's portion of the tournament ends. It ends on July 4th, that round of 16 game here in town.
July 4th. I also, how does MetLife get the final?
I don't know what
FIFA official did they bribe?
You mean Infantino, isn't that his name? That would be the guy, I guess, who you have to bribe.
I guess that it's a very easy answer.
Yeah, you asked. I think if we're playing this game about who had to get bribed, him.
But I mean, like, MetLife. Okay, sure. I get it's near New York. But on match day, it's not going to feel very near to New York.
And also,
it explodes players' ACLs in the NFL.
Well, we'll have grass, Sean.
Oh, okay.
FIFA mandated grass will be down. So the question is it the turf or is just that stadium in general as a curse? We'll find out.
Or how, I don't trust their ground. Their grounds crew can't handle turf. I don't know what they're going to do with roll a grass carpet out there.
FIFA's inspected it.
Okay.
We believe everything is fine.
It's going to be pallet grass like old Reliant Stadium.
No. There's FIFA.
Wes Welker's going to tear his ACL.
Not even Reliant, or as it's called now, Houston Stadium for the World Cup. Even Houston Stadium is doing that. It is FIFA.
Fiorentino.
Approved. Infantino. FIFA approved grass with the grow lights and all. So we should be okay.
Okay.
We'll see. When Germany and Curacao play, I don't imagine they'll suffer the same fate as that Texans punter or Wes Welker.
Yeah,
or
and Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, that's why they got away from the grass.
They should have them walk out there to inspect it as like a
former players.
As a
I lost portions of my knee here.
Yes,
I should be able to ceremonial grass tester.
Mm-hmm. And half of the New York Jets and Giants.
I'm sure and the 49ers.
And the 49ers.
I'm sure all those people want to relive the memories like you want them to.
They walk across, you know, like it's like a ceremony from end zone to the other.
I'm not worried about it. If Messi can survive Jordan Hare, I think Florian Wirtz can survive Reliant days now.
Yeah. I wish the best for Florian.
Yeah. Kai Havertz, you're good. Don't worry about it.
I don't know.
Don't worry about it, buddy. You'll be fine out there. I would name some Curacao players. I ain't got none for you. I have to look at the roster right now.
No, apparently only one is a Curacao player was actually like born in Curacao.
Yeah, they're all born in the Netherlands.
It's Netherlands B squad, essentially.
Maybe that's strong. Maybe C.
Oh, yeah, true. It's people that it's, could also play for the Netherlands that under no circumstance would actually ever make the team.
So they now have an opportunity.
And now they have an opportunity to play in the World Cup.
It's, if you want a comp, it is Team Italy from the World Baseball Classic.
Yes, yes. There's a lot of Vinny Pasquantinos on Carousel.
Yes, yes. So we will see how I don't know what people from Curaçao are called. I was going to say Curaçaoans, but I don't know that that's the case.
I also avoided that.
I imagine we'll find out on match day. Someone will let us know what you should call people from Curaçao, but they will be in the World Cup.
Curaçaoese?
I don't know, man.
Curaçaoese?
So we will find out as they play the Germans. Now, the Dutch and the Germans have had a long-standing history of playing. Mm-hmm. So this is a long
history.
A Dutch satellite for multiple reasons. So this is a satellite Dutch squad going. So we'll see how it goes. Do you think the World Cup is just like the NCAA tournament? Look, we're not going to have the Dutch and the Netherlands in the same group. But you know what would be good? If we have Dutch players in a different uniform playing the Germans. Yeah. Because that's been a historical rivalry.
It's A&M playing UT San Antonio.
Yeah. Only,
it's like, hey, yeah, close enough,
the
right?
European mind can draw those connections, and so can I, because I know enough about the sport.
Again, I don't think they'd do something so underhanded as that.
I sense
tip the scales. I saw the group draw. I saw it. I saw the ping pong balls that the three heads of state pulled out of the giant lottery machine.
You did. I didn't. And I hate watching those things. It takes forever.
It was another at least the first part of it. I think I did the first hour of the – Glenn Davis did a
– Oh, yeah. I was out for that day.
Yeah. And, I watched the first half of it. And then the rest, when I got home, I was like, okay, here are the groups.
Yeah, there's no need.
I did watch them, like, coach these guys how to pull a ping pong ball out of a bowl.
You know, the NBA, I believe they're potentially going to move to televising that. It's not going to be a great TV experience.
No, people are going to hate it.
They're trying to do everything they can to convince people that, hey, we swear nothing nefarious is going on. So we're even going to broadcast this boring-ass experience.
Yeah, we're going to make the TV product worse.
Yeah, hey, look, you have accused us of cheating so much that we're going to bore you with this process. We used to just bore Zach Lowe and others. Now we're going to bore you, too.
Yeah, you used to have to get a credential to get this board. Yeah.
Now you can be bored at home.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's going to be something in 5 years where people are like, why are they change it back?
Because you question the integrity of the entire process. That, now they're doing it.
I feel like that's so much. I mean, the NBA is like the worst case of this, but there's so many things where people just complain. And then they're like, all right, here, we fixed it. And they're like, they get the, you know, first time of like, this is cool. And then it's like, actually, this sucks. This sucks guy, too.
Just watching guys pull ping pong balls.
Yeah, it's a terrible product.
Yeah, who it's not good for TV.
The way they do it is the correct way to count it down.
You just don't believe them. You think of frozen envelopes and other things, and now look where we are.
And even though Zach Lowe says it's all on the up and up.
Yeah, it's part of the NBA media complex. It can't be trusted. Let's move on, or actually stick with this topic, because the ping pong balls have not gone the Rockets' way because the NBA's out to get them. So they have never been able to get the top player in these drafts as they try to rebuild. But sometimes you can still get a great player even if you don't have the top pick. And the Rockets had a chance to get themselves Stephon Castle, who fits what you think an Ime Udoka player would be. Hard nose, doesn't back down, good defensively, not scared of anyone, tremendous athlete as well. And Ime Udoka, not surprisingly, was very interested in Stephon Castle. He was one of the guys the Rockets are targeting, according to reports from The Athletic, until Stephon Castle, because of his want to play with Wimby, let teams know who could have kept him from his dream of playing with Wembanyama that, hey, I really don't want to play for you. Just letting you know, through his people, and they asked Castle about it. He said he was very aware that the Rockets and Ime were fans of his, and he said, I wanted to play with Wimby. So, and then the reporting kept going, and we found out that they signaled to teams that would be in the spots to pick him that he didn't want to play for them. So while this show has talked about why would you take Reed Sheppard when Castle feels like a perfect Rocket under the Ime Udoka regime, now we have a potential answer. But does that mean they shouldn't have just taken him anyway? Like, what was Castle going to do? Hold out and go, you know what? You should probably trade me. He got what he wanted, and now the Rockets are suffering for it along with everyone else in the Western Conference. But I don't know what he could have said that if they were all in on him, what he could have said to turn them away. Like, just take them. He's going to show up. It's not like he's not going to play. Now, his concern was they had established backcourt guys ahead of him in Fred VanVleet. And imagine Jalen Green being one of the blockers from getting you Stephon Castle. He was so concerned about Jalen Green being there. Hey, Castle, just listen to Houston media, at least Houston radio. So there's some Houston media members who love Jalen Green. I don't know if our show existed at the time of the draft, that draft. If it did, or just listening to me talk about Jalen Green on the morning show, Castle, I could have had you.
Yeah,
I had you, man. I would have let you know this isn't someone you should have been worried about.
Yeah,
and the Rockets eventually traded him, of course.
We definitely talked about how anyone, these young guys, can get benched
at any point.
So I think what would have happened is that
now Stephon he was Castle, right about Fred.
Yeah, yo, 100%.
The Rockets love Fred.
But Stephon Castle probably would have ended up just playing more or playing over Jalen Green. Jalen Green would have played like the requisite amount of minutes to be still like, hey, you know, we value you. Also, you know, so we can trade you later. Yeah, whatever.
But last year, we value you. Last year, if he impressed more than Reed Shepard did in the rookie season, he would have played.
Yeah, he wouldn't have only played however little Reed, 30 or whatever games that Reed Shepard played. Like, he would have played more.
I will predict that if the Rockets had taken Castle, he does not make an appearance in the G League. He is not sent down to the G League as a rookie. He would have played quite a bit. That is an Ime Udoka guy. We now have supporting evidence from The Athletic that he was interested, but Castle got his way, and now he's a Spurs. So even more reason to dislike him. He didn't want to be here.
Yeah. None of those guys want to be here.
Yeah, Dylan Harper wasn't even an option, but he let everyone know, hey, don't trade up to two. Hey, Houston, don't trade up to two.
Sleep those guys.
I don't want to play that. Yeah. Just build up an entire narrative where every Spur on the roster at one point had a chance to be a Rocket and said no.
The Rockets tried to schedule like a due diligence interview of like, you know, hey, they did have the 10th pick in that draft.
They could have made a trade if they wanted to, and Harper was like, get out of here. Beat it.
Actually,
hey, talk to Ace. Maybe you can get him if you trade up.
Yeah. Actually, he poured Gatorade on Rafael Stone's face. That's actually what he did.
So we do know at least two Spurs starting players decided, I don't want to be here.
Two of the three cornerstones.
Two of the guys they're going to be banking on to become a legitimate dynasty. We heard Eric scoff at that, and rightfully so. Dynasties don't exist right now. But they're in a position to at least be good for the next 5 or 6 years. And they're like, no, not Houston.
Yeah.
And it is right that they're Spurs and they didn't want to be here. So there's even more reason to hate on them. And now you have actual evidence and a right to, as opposed to just random sports hate. They said no to this city.
Did we ever get an answer why Victor Wembanyama was fist pumping? The only franchise to get a fist pump.
The Rockets were a dumpster fire. What other answer did you need? Is before Udoka got there. They were a trash heap, Sean.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
He was right at the time. Turns out the Rockets were on a path to being respectable. Yeah. But even still,
immediately respectable.
Proven right. Now, I'm sure.
Didn't have the foresight to believe in Ime Udoka.
Now, he didn't know he was going to play for Mitch Johnson. But it all worked out for him.
It did all work. I think it all worked out for him. But I'm saying, like, should have also fist bumped when the Wizards came up. You know, like, there's a lot of teams that you wanted to avoid.
It is pretty crazy that even at that time, with the Wizards existing, the Rockets were still the place, the best player of a generation as far as draft prospects.
The Hornets
was like,
had the third pick.
No.
Or the second pick.
No. The only team that got that visceral of a reaction was the Rockets. And I get why Rocket fans were thrilled when Şengün at a time was putting him in the rim, you know, that one game.
Yeah.
It's a little insulting when the Wizards and the Hornets exist, for him to react that way.
OKC, Chet Holmgren for Şengün.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
One guy's not afraid of him.
Yeah, that is the thing. Chet's going to have to fight it won't happen this offseason. He'll have to show it on the court that he's not afraid of Victor Wembanyama. from Sam Presti's comments.
He needs to do HGH. I think he needs to do
You think he needs to do something illegal?
He needs some muscle mass. He has zero muscle mass.
Well, he's going against a guy who doesn't have much as well, but that guy is not afraid of you.
Also, if you look at him side by side, Victor Wembanyama has way more muscle.
Yeah. While Wimby noticeably is a thin player who people believe needs to put on more muscle, there is muscle there.
Yeah. Chet looks like a high schooler.
And I imagine if we put Chet today versus Chet when he was drafted, you will see a difference, but not an NBA difference.
No.
Not enough.
Not like the – I don't know. I mean, I'm sure NBA teams have a strength and conditioning coach.
Oh, do, yeah.
He's not getting profiled like a college football strength and conditioning coach where they're like, we love this guy. Look at the before and after pictures with all these guys.
Yeah, the OKC guy isn't Tommy Moffitt.
No.
He's not getting the Tommy Moffitt treatment.
Not Tommy Moffitt, sure.
Who's currently with the Aggies after a long stint with LSU, I believe. So, you know, you mentioned college football, and we'll go to break here. Like in the offseason, players, whether they're freshmen who are early entrants or just guys, they do the transformation thing and they go, this is what I look like. And they'll do the shirtless thing. This is what I look like when I first got here, and this is what I look like now. Insert strength coach got me right. They got me right. There are no pictures like that of Chet.
No.
None of that's happening.
Like, I remember seeing, it was like pregame, and it's where he just like is warming up with the undershirt on. I'm just like, this is ridiculous that a professional athlete who's been in the league now for, what, 3 years? He was the same draft as Jabari Smith. However long Jabari Smith has been in the league, so is Chet. And it's like, there's like not a bicep there.
And I bet if we did the side by side of Jabari as a rookie and what he is now, you're gonna see a difference. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Chet
is he not taking it serious? Is he lazy?
I'm not putting that
on
Chet.
Is he like Zion, but the other way?
Who's the OKC version of Mariah Mills for Chet? Can you imagine if that came out this offseason on top of being afraid of Wimby?
I just meant eat himself out.
Oh, I thought
you. I didn't mean the other.
You mean not eat himself out the league?
Yeah, he's doing the opposite. When's the last time you had a good meal, Chet?
I hope. Well, it is okay. See, it might be tough. I do hope
they have Sonic.
It's not a good meal, Sean. I do hope for a Zion like arc for Chet,
which
involves a Mariah Mills.
Okay.
Type.
Okay.
Yeah. As he drowns in his sorrows. This offseason, he goes down a dark path.
I mean, someone like Mariah Mills would, like, break his hip. Like,
I don't know
break
what,
his pelvis.
Don't know who Chet's version of that is, but if it happens, it's great for content. He should be in the gym, but he's up to the shenanigans.
Yeah.
That's great for the NBA offseason.
Maybe a different category.
I don't know what Chet likes.
I don't know either, but I'm just saying it'd be a lot like having to box out an NBA center for him.
And we know he has trouble with that. But he's a great defensive player, so maybe he'll find his way there. All right, we'll go to break with that. But before we do that, we've talked certainly quite a bit about the World Cup, and it's in town. And you know what else is in town? A chance to go to those games. All you got to do is be competitive and win. That's what Michelob Ultra is providing for you. Around the city, you're going to have 11 chances starting tomorrow to compete in an interactive soccer shootout. And if you win, you get a pair of tickets to a Houston-based FIFA World Cup game. Starting tomorrow at 5. Actually, let's, you know what? Starting tomorrow at 2 at Rodeo Goat in Edo. Show up there, play the game, and win. You get yourself a pair of tickets. Also, from 5 to 8 on Thursday as well from Ojos Locos in Memorial. And then let's go to Friday from 5 to 8 at Christian's Tailgate in White Oak. Then on Saturday from 3 to 6 at Papa's on the Lake in Montgomery. Sticking with Saturday, 4 to 7, the Marriott Marquis in downtown. And then Highline Park in the Heights from 5 to 8. Then you got Little Woodrow's in Edo. And then wrapping up the Saturday events in the Heights, Moonshine Deck from 7 to 10 p.m. Little Woodrow's is 5 to 8 in Edo. And then we go to Sunday, 12 to 3, Chapman and Kirby in Edo. And then Sunday, Twin Peaks, the Kirby location from 3 to 6. And then finally, Fabian's Latin Flavors downtown on Sunday from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. You have 11 opportunities to win tickets to the FIFA World Cup brought to you by Michelob Ultra. In fact, I believe Lance has tweeted out the locations as well. I know there's a lot of them. So if you go to Lance Erline on Twitter, you can find all the locations. He's put those out. Remember, we're also broadcasting from Rodeo Goat tomorrow from 12 to 6. So you can go out there, get your chance to win and also watch a half day of ESPN 975 programming. Play for the chance to witness history because Superior is worth playing for. Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 26.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we told the story about Castle not wanting to be a Rocket, and KJ chimes in. Castle having the nerve to tell teams he didn't want to play for them, exactly what the morning show spoke about, how players in this generation are so entitled and pampered that a player that wasn't number one, or at least the number one pick, has the nerve to say where he wanted to play. That has been going on for a while. Guys like to pick their locations. Hell, Ace Bailey, who I referenced, didn't want to play a couple places because he didn't see an opportunity, and he wound up in Utah. It's not new.
Stephen Curry didn't want to play for the Warriors.
And frankly,
and they picked him anyway.
I mean, famously, John Elway wanted nothing to do with the Colts. So, although he was number one, which was, I guess, part of KJ's point. But Steph Curry wasn't number one. He wasn't going to go number one. It happens all the time. Normally, it's not as obvious as it was with Eli and John Elway, two quarterbacks who were going number one, who were at least projected to go number one. But in the NBA, we see guys turn down workouts all the time because they got a promise from some team that they're going to pick them. So I don't want to play for you because this place seems like the right fit for me.
I mean, guys that are going to go in the 50s will turn down because they want to be unrestricted or undrafted free agents.
Oh, yeah, undrafted. They have a better opportunity.
Yeah, so like it's very funny that it happens probably the most in the top five and then the second most in the bottom 10 the draft.
Guys would rather control where they're going to go. There's an opportunity, whether it be through summer league, to be showcased and then, of course, make a roster.
Or just like you hit it all, you know, you do all the meetings, you hit off with one coaching staff and not the other, whatever it is.
Yeah, and even on the NFL level, at the end of the draft, agents will tell teams, hey, I got a guaranteed spot where, as a UDFA, where someone's giving me a guarantee of $250,000. Yeah. Don't pick me. Don't pick my player. My player has that. I don't know if that was the case with Le'Veon Moss when he got a giant guarantee to sign with the Dolphins, and then he decided he didn't want to play football anymore. But I think it happens, weirdly, quite a bit at the end of drafts in basketball and football, and then at the top in the Castle situation where he goes, you know what, Rockets, get out of here.
Yeah.
My guy.
Baseball's draft is crazy. It's because it's not just like – who do you think is the best player? It's like you have to, like, will this guy sign? How much will they sign? What if we sign a guy that's under the, like, slot amount so we have more to sign a second round pick? The baseball draft is like, I think it's the least popular among the big drafts, not only because guys don't play for the team for 3 years if they play at all for that team that drafted them, but it's also like, it is so complicated. Like, there's like, it's not just like a simple draft where you can just like, oh, yeah, you know, if you need a defensive end, it's either this guy or that guy. You pick your favorite. It's like, it's quantum physics to figure out which guy they're going to pick who's probably never going to play for your team.
You know, you can always go back to college or actually go to college, depending on when you were drafted. Yeah, there are so many options for a baseball player to make a decision, particularly if they don't like their draft slot or the team who picked them. So I think players have found a way to gain more control throughout the process. It's just really stinks when a really great player, really great young player decide this city, not for me. And the city he does want to go to is one of your, at least, big in-state rivals.
I can't beat out Jalen Green, so I don't want to play for the team.
Well, he's not a great evaluator of a roster, I will say. he didn't.
Or himself.
He didn't. I guess he didn't know.
Better than that guy.
For all the confidence he displays on the court, did not think he could beat out Jalen Green. And turns out Jalen Green, less than a year after, Castle said, nope, not for me, was a son. And there's clearly a spot in this rotation for Stephon Castle.
Stephon Castle is like not a scorer and has had a way better scoring postseason than Jalen Green.
What could have been? The Wimby thing, understandable. The Rockets' reputation was in the trash. You get it. Still sucks to watch him celebrate that way. The Castle thing, like, what are you doing, man? I mean, the team had just had a great turnaround, and what, they were coming off a 41-win season. They had got to 500. I know Jalen Green, I guess that month of March for Jalen Green really shook up Castle.
You know what?
It's possible.
Like the Wembanyama thing, where it's like, if you go back, like, yes, they had hired Udoka, former Spur, but Victor Wembanyama didn't see the vision there. Wanted to play for Greg Popovich instead.
Understand. Whatever. Guess, whatever.
If you go back to whatever, June of 2024, you know?
People were talking reckless about what Jalen Green could be because he had a great month of March. So maybe Castle saw that and go, oh, this guy's gonna be one of them ones. I don't wanna wait behind him. Turns out he got a little ahead of himself on his evaluation of Jalen Green, and the Rockets are worse for it. Oh well.
Does he shoot the same percentage from three as Jalen Green?
I imagine he does it on less attempts if he does.
Yes, which is good considering what they both shoot. But
I don't like this comparison.
I'm just saying that because the whole idea of Stephon Castle being a great Rocket would not only be some of the turnovers, but also the fact that he plays hard-nosed defense, point of attack, you know, bulldog type. And it's like Jalen Green's more of the scoring guard, you know, that kind of thing. It's like Stephon Castle's a better scorer than the scoring guard. That's not on his, you know, what he introduces himself.
No.
It's the Bill Burr conversation. Bill Burr doesn't go, hey, I'm character actor Bill Burr. No, it's whatever, 9-time Netflix comedy special haver,
top
Bill
five
Burr.
Comedian currently in the game, yeah.
Yeah, it's that, where it's like, oh, by the way, also I'm a good character actor.
You know what I found out doing Spurs Rocket comps aren't great for the Rockets.
Historically, no. Since 1995, it hasn't been great.
Not great. Yeah,
it hasn't been great.
We can all relive
that one series.
What Hakeem did to David Robinson. But really, since that point, it's been all Spurs.
Not great.
Yeah. So like Duncan era and beyond, it's been all Spurs. And right now, they seem like they're up and the Rockets are trailing.
This season was Jalen Green's worst three-point shooting season. So for his career, he has a better average than Stephon Castle. But it's close.
Well, he's not our problem. Neither one of them are our problems.
Yeah.
Jalen Green in particular.
Maybe in a couple of years, Stephon Castle.
Well, honestly, he is our problem.
In a
different way. Yeah. And it's going to be a thing for a decade as long as he wants to be a Spur. Which he appears to really want to be.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Sam Amick. What the hell was that? I mean, it's good insight.
It's good reporting. And it gives me some insight into the Rockets not being completely blind to who they are. They didn't want him. At least the coach did.
Yeah.
And now I was going to say we're stuck with Reed. But we have been graced with Reed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Looks great in the new uniforms.
He did. He is one of those guys who got to take photos. You know, unfortunately, you know, if the Spurs were dropping new uniforms, they wouldn't have a photo shoot because they're still playing. That's the difference.
That did cross my mind because the date was, I think, between game one and two, I want to say, was when the jerseys dropped. I was like, they could still have been playing. Like, it would have been very unlikely. I don't think we ever actually thought they could, like, make the finals.
No.
But it was like theoretical.
The jerseys would have had to wait.
Still be playing.
The reason the Wolves, although those theirs were leaked, the reason the Wolves and the Rockets were able to drop new uniforms is because their seasons are over before they wanted them to.
When the Texans dropped their new uniforms, they announced it in April. You know? They waited.
You're like, you know what? Who knows where we're gonna be?
But we might have another playoffs we might be in.
but these two teams are like, oh, it's over. Yeah. Let's just get these photos out of the way. And you know, it was important to get Tari in those photos because we don't know how long he'll be a Rocket.
Yeah. That, you know what? You do have to hit a sweet spot of
before free agency, you make a trade,
but
after the season's over.
Yeah.
And the Rockets found their sweet spot, and now you get a taste of the new uniforms with all the guys who helped you win 52 games, but also not get out of the first round. So we'll see what the Rockets do. Look, the Rockets don't appear to be in the mode to find themselves a new star to pair with Kevin Durant, but maybe a move on the margins helps the roster. With no first-round pick, there's not a lot of, like, intrigue unless a surprise. The real thing is, does Tari come back and at what price? And can they get off of DFS, which seems like a task right now, considering what he did.
Seems like you're going to have to lose a first-round pick or two to get rid of him.
Yeah, you might have to attach an asset if you're trying to make a move to get off of DFS, which would be tough when he was thought to be just another add to the wing depth, which got really sparse because he was out for a while because of injury, and then we would rather have him not play because he wouldn't shoot the ball well. So that's the chore for the Rockets while we're talking about what the Spurs have done. The Rockets don't appear to be a team that's just going to, like, you know what, this is your next 5 years. They'll try, but they do have some constraints, and with no first-round pick this year, they won't be able to add a good young player unless they do it through trade. So we'll see how that goes. Speaking of good young players, this came up across my timeline. You know, Charlie Woods is in the news because he's Tiger Woods' kid. I think he's going to Florida State for golf. Where are we on him being the caddy for another player? Like, I don't know. Look, it speaks to he's different than Tiger. I don't think Tiger was ever going to be the caddy for a guy who's his same age, who's in a major, like, youth tournament. Charlie Woods is carrying the bag for a guy who, I forgot the kid's name, but he did.
Miles Russell.
Did he win the tournament? Or did he finish well?
Yes, qualifies for U.S. Open.
So his good buddy, Miles Russell, qualifies for the U.S. Open, and Charlie Woods was holding the bag, carrying the bag, his caddy. That's one way I know he's different than his dad. Ain't no way I could foresee even young Tiger Woods carrying the bag for some kid.
I mean, not. I don't want to crush.
I'm not crushing
Charlie
young
Woods,
Charlie Woods.
But Tiger at his age was playing in these events.
Well, that's true, but
he would be the one qualified.
Yeah, Miles Russell has been like a youth player of the year for a couple seasons, a couple years already in his young golf career. But Charlie being the caddy. Interesting, and they talked about it. I think Miles Russell said it's great to have my friend with me as I go through this. I'm like, Charlie, you're going to a school that I don't respect in Florida State. It's a good golf school.
It's a great golf school.
But I don't like him. So
thank God he's not a cornerback.
Look, Charlie Woods is not committing to Mike Norvell.
No one is.
No. They did just get a 4-star, Sean, like their first 4-star of the cycle, I believe.
I think he's committing to the university.
That's Is he a legacy recruit? I don't know that kid's background.
He's making a 40-year decision, hopefully.
Well, you don't pick Florida State for that. But
that is true.
But a lot of 3-stars are rolling into Florida State up until this kid decided Florida State was for him.
Yeah.
How big did that bag have to be?
Charlie Woods had to help carry it.
Different bags, but you get the point.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. It is because Charlie Woods, he seems like he's pretty good golfer.
Yeah, he's got a scholarship to one of the better golf schools in the country.
Yeah, it's not like a full, you know, like if Tiger is the Michael Jordan, like this isn't.
What are the kids' names?
Marcus and Jeffrey.
I think so. Both got scholarships to college, though.
They did play with Illinois?
Yeah, UCF, Illinois, so power conference. Well, at least with Illinois at the time, a power conference school. So,
yeah.
I don't know how good young Charlie Woods would be. It just did strike me as odd that Tiger would even allow it. Hey, what are you doing in the family name? What are you doing? Well, Tiger can't.
Yeah,
Tiger doesn't have really anything to stand on when it comes to that. Now that I think about it, Tiger can't really say that. What am I doing to the family name? What are you doing? Yeah, that's true. It's true.
How many mugshots do I have?
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Maybe he's more Elon's son than Tiger's son when it comes to humility and stuff.
I mean, I feel like we would have... Because I really, barely ever hear about Charlie Woods. Two, when I do hear about him, it's always golf-related. You know, there's never the Charlie Woods was caught on a Twitch stream saying XYZ.
Yeah, Aiden Ross hasn't tricked Charlie Woods into promising something.
Yeah.
Then he has to walk back. Putin, like, cool, yes. Charlie Woods, no.
He seems like, I mean, again, from
seems like a very nice kid.
Yeah.
From all we can tell, as you mentioned, no off the field issues for Charlie Woods as he enters his college years. Still only 17 years old, but
and the fact he would caddy for his friend.
I said that. Like, so I'm saying more, maybe more Elon's kid than Tiger's kid. And if
they're both committed to Florida State, as I'm reading this
article. They're good friends, and he may caddy in the U.S. Open for him. That's a possibility
cool.
as well.
That'd
that's
cool.
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, but this is something. Because I saw this headline. I guess I didn't realize that it was for a. I guess I assumed it was some like event, you know, pro-am kind of like, you know, fake tour event kind of thing. I didn't know it was to qualify for the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
Apparently, this kid like had to survive a playoff to make it. That's a 17-year-old. Yeah,
Miles Russell got it done.
Yeah.
I just imagine like Tiger being like Logan Roy. And watching this going,
not my son.
I don't know. Does he treat him like what? Not what's the one that's that got involved and eventually married the, let's say, sex worker. I forgot. Connor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one who ran for president.
Yeah. Connor. I don't know that Charlie's going to reach that status for being the caddy for another guy. But if I'm putting Tiger Woods in the Logan Roy category, I can't believe the guy who's doing bore on the floor. I can't imagine Tiger being like, my kid's caddying. That's cool.
I love you, but you are not serious people.
I just imagine that's going on.
Charlie Woods doing L to the OG.
I mean, you know what? From what we can tell, it appears
nothing like the succession.
No, and Charlie seems well adjusted.
Yeah,
and he hugged his boy when he won. So things are going well in that regard. He gets to go to Florida State, a really good golf school. So things are going well there. It just struck me as like that ain't the Woods family I know. Not the one I've become accustomed to.
I mean, what would Earl Woods have to say about
it? I didn't even mention Earl.
Eldrick, that's one thing. Yeah, Earl.
I didn't even think about Earl, what time he was on. That's a good point. If anyone's the Logan Roy, it's Earl.
Yeah, actually, it's all kind of lining up when you put Earl as Logan.
Yeah, Tiger's the eldest boy.
Yeah, and then not great. He doesn't have his siblings.
And the grandkids grandkids in succession seem okay. We don't really see them very much, but we're not hearing things about them. Mm-hmm. And maybe Charlie fits that mold as the one who's going to avoid some of the complications that have happened with previous Woods.
Very a lot of complications.
Yeah, it's
very complicated.
Yeah, too long to get into.
There's a documentary actually about that. There's probably several, but there's HBO one.
Yeah, if you're unaware of what time Tiger's been on, you can find it. I don't need to update you on that. It's everywhere. All right, we'll go to break. We got one more segment to go. Only way we're really going to talk about golf on the show is in that way. So there it is for you golf heads.
I mean, U.S. Open. I mean, we'll
did mention the U.S. Open.
We'll make our U.S. Open picks on Friday.
I'm taking Miles Russell. There it is. We'll go to break with that.
This is ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Shout out to Will Wade for cutting through a college sports news that has nothing to do with Brendan Sorby. A tale as old as time. Will Wade and LSU and the trouble that follows. So Will Wade is back at LSU. He got back into college basketball with McNeese State, took them to the tournament. Remember the kid with the boombox? That was McNeese State from a couple tournaments ago. He was at NC State last year, led them to the tournament, I believe, as well. Maybe were they a first four game? I forgot. Really not the point. Unless you're NC State and you're pissed off at LSU and Will Wade. So NC State has opened an investigation into LSU for violating North Carolina law for improperly inducing Will Wade to return to Baton Rouge to be their coach. I don't know anything about North Carolina law, but they believe LSU violated the Unfair and Deceptive Trade Practices Act, which allows the aggrieved party to recover damages, including attorney fees, according to court documents. So they believe LSU committed a crime, and they want compensation for it. According to NC State General Counsel, the timing and circumstances of Coach Wade's departure from Raleigh and his resignation, along with the LSU term sheet and the eventual buyout payment of $4 million to NC State, raises questions about LSU's potential liability in the matter. So it does feel like, hey, we committed to this guy. We brought him back to Power Conference basketball after he was in the wilderness. He left us after 1 year. F this guy. What can we do to make the team that took him from us, or the program that took him from us, responsible? So LSU is going to have to deal with it. I don't know that there's any real legal basis for it. I just think it's funny that, you know, the regular old, our program's better than your program, or at least we, or big bank take little bank type of circumstances of taking a college coach. It felt pretty normal, but NC State says, hold on, we don't like the way this went down. We're gonna have a conversation with our lawyers about it. And it's just great. Lil Wade's back with LSU, and this is something. They can't even get to a game with him or a real practice with their new team, and this is the deal.
Only Lil Wade can have the headline of, like, the team who hired Lil Wade might have broken the law.
Yeah, to get it done.
Like, Lil Wade has the most, like not just controversies, but they're, like, it's like a very specific type of controversy where it's like, wait, now like the feds are involved with this? Like what? How, like he got caught on a wiretap? But this is way back in the day now. But it's like all of these things where it's like, really? It's like only Lil Wade like is kind of the gangster type coach, and just never has the moment of like reconciliation. He's always like, nope, this now, I mean, didn't he say something to the effect, maybe when he was at McNeese, where it's just like, yeah, what I got in trouble for now is just like how business is done.
He also
like,
said,
just boom. That's
he also
it.
Said, I think
I win
in the, maybe in a speech or something he made public at a presser, that he told those McNeese State kids, look, we all want to be someplace else.
Yeah.
This is just a stop. Yeah. Look, he took some of those kids to, I believe, yeah, NC State, but he just said, hey, look, none of us really want to be here. I get it. Let's be real about this. We're just trying to move up. This is one stop on our way to a better spot. And he has certainly followed those words. And now NC State is pretty much saying that LSU, of course, got this going and then delayed some of it until the buyout lessened. That's part of it as well. Like you were in on Will Wade for a long time, and if you had done it in a way that it normally goes, you would have owed us this. But instead, you maneuvered, you pretended, and then when the buyout lessened, then you struck and got the deal done. So, which is, I feel like, par for the course when it comes to college coaching and stealing one coach away from another program. But NC State is saying, you're not playing that game with us, so we'll see what happens there.
This does, I mean, Will Wade has to be one of the most, like, notable college coaches that has like one Sweet 16 to his name.
Yeah, there's not that like, much winning going
like,
on.
Like he has a good record, but a lot of it's like
he is a good basketball coach.
Well, it's also a lot of VCU and McNeese wins that are like really whatever. But like his LSU record's fine.
Made the tournament a couple times, won a game once.
It was 20-14 last year. Like it's not like this is you know what it's a lot like. It's a lot like Lane Kiffin, really. Where there's
until the last couple years.
Yeah, where it's like there's so much controversy, so much like spotlight on this, and it's like, yeah, it's, you know, tops out 10 win seasons. You know, like that's kind of it. Then it all comes crumbling down years.
And guess where Lane Kiffin is?
Yeah, yeah. That makes it even better.
They're
gonna be best friends.
And you got
worse
things. You got Kim Mulkey there too. There was a line from someone when the Will Wade hire went down. Of course, Lane Kiffin got there before Will Wade. We know Kim Mulkey's been at LSU a while. They said the three of them were the lion, the bitch, and the wardrobe. And I believe,
yeah, which one's which?
Mulkey was the wardrobe.
Yes. Okay.
We know. Of course, you could call her a different word, but they avoided that particular gender-specific insult. And you can decide who's the lion and the bitch with when it comes to Wade and Tiffin.
I don't really want to call either of them a lion. That's well, the problem. Well, no, I went through the record.
I got to clean it up. L-Y-I-N. It was lion. The lion spelled like a lie, the bitch, and the wardrobe.
Hmm. Now I don't want to put the B word on anyone.
Lying feels better because you can fit although, both you know, guys under there.
How Lane Kiffin maneuvered the LSU exit or the exit to LSU from Ole Miss
and
the way he exited Tennessee to go to USC.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of that.
It's a lot of. I'm not calling him one. It's a lot of B moves that he's pulling off.
This is why it's.
I'm not calling him one.
This is why it's such a great moneker. And if you like C.S.
They're all lying.
And if you like C.S. Lewis, even better.
Yeah. This is one for the real C.S. Lewis heads that also love college sports.
Yeah, I'm a person who loved college sports and read those books as a kid. So it struck home with me. It's a great line, and you can pick and choose which one fits each coach. But I think Moke is clearly the wardrobe.
Yeah, I'll say the other two definitely aren't the wardrobe.
Yeah, so
you can make arguments for all three being the other two, but Moke is the wardrobe.
Yeah, but Wade and Kiffin aren't the wardrobe. I mean, Kiffin's known for a visor, and I don't know what Wade wears. Honestly, don't care.
Visors.
Actually,
visors really huge in the college coach space, I would say.
You don't see it other places.
Don't see it a lot of
maybe
them.
Golfers.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, golfers
well.
Will mess around. It.
Yeah. All right, we're done for the day. Rich Eisen is up next. Joe's out for one more day, right?
Yes. So he's not here today.
Is it Kunkel?
No, it's DJ and Sarge with Brian.
Got it. It was DJ Sarge and AJ yesterday, right?
Yeah. Definitely AJ yesterday. I'm not sure. I don't know. All those guys are on vacation. It's DJ and Sarge.
DJ and Sarge today. And then we start our World Cup watch parties beginning tomorrow. And speaking of that, I want to let you know before we wrap it up, join ESPN 975 for our soccer watch parties this Thursday and Friday as we watch the biggest soccer games of the year. Thursday, Will Kunkel and then Jeremy and Joe will be broadcasting from 12 to 6 at Rodeo Goat. And then join the same crew on Friday at Patterson Park. The ESPN 975 soccer watch parties are brought to you by Huntington Bank. All right, we're done for the day, Sean. So what does that mean?
For me, I just feel like they're really equal.
Let's go, Weah. We're going to play that quite a bit if things go poorly and other things about them, because this is the time. This is the tournament that we've all been building to. Let's see if our squad can get it done. All right, we're done. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.